Welcome to the first annual Mike's Camera Awards, the film awards that really matter. We're your hosts, Carl.
And Alex.
And now let's get on with the show. So, Alex, let's jump on to the first award. So, the way this show's working is we're doing purely stuff that we've covered in the past year.
Yeah.
So, not like, oh, what came out in 2018? Stuff we've done. So, from our past 34 episodes.
Yeah, some bizarre stuff.
Yeah, a good mix, some might say. Some really good range. So we're going to start off with a nice easy one that everyone's got at their award show. Our favorite animated film. So I found we only covered 5 animated movies, and actually...
I feel like that's a fair few.
Yeah, well...
It's the 7th of our films
that is
animated.
True. I actually thought it was 4 until I remembered that Shrek 2 was animated. I was going through them and I was like, oh, we've only done 4. That's weird. And I was like, hang on. No, Carl. Shrek 2 is an animated movie. What are you doing?
Yeah. What?
I don't know what went wrong in my brain, but I was like,
Nah, Shrek is definitely real, Carl.
He's real in my heart.
If you Shrek got is anyone Shrek to help life. Us, please let me know.
I'll ask, what do you think is the best animated film we covered, or your favorite at least?
What did we cover?
So we did Transformers.
Yeah.
Then we did Your Name.
Yep.
Lord of the Rings, the animated one, which I don't think you were on that episode.
I wasn't on that. I didn't say it.
It's fine. I don't think it's going to win. Tales from Earthsea and Shrek 2.
Part of me thinks that Your Name, because it's like stylistically brilliant and stuff. Part of it's just like Shrek 2, because Mongo.
Yeah. I'm really torn on this one. I've got 3 that I was like, but these are all really, really good.
Transformers isn't that good, Carl.
How dare you?
It isn't that good.
I love that movie. You shut your mouth. Oh, God. We're right back to episode 3.
It's just Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Shut up. You shut up. We had to put it in somewhere. I'm stuck between those 3. Like, Tales from Earthsea and Lord of the Rings can get the hell out of here. Like, Lord of the Rings was weird and
Tales from Earthsea not great. Not great.
Yeah, Tales from Earthsea, there was so much room for improvement.
I don't even remember how that film ended.
The girl was a dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, evil was defeated.
And then he just goes back to working on a farm, doesn't he?
Yeah, they proceed to work. Sparrowhawk and Kid proceed to work on a farm for the rest of their days. Because no more evil in the world, I guess. Similar how Lord of the Rings ends, which we'll get to that in a later.
Probably, I'm going to go Shrek 2.
Shrek 2?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I can agree on Shrek 2. I feel like that's a good one. That's
it's
a good
Shrek
one from my childhood.
Shrek 2 or Your Name.
Yeah?
Yeah, Shrek 2 or Your Name. I think Shrek 2 just for nostalgia purposes.
Fair.
Nostalgia and meme purposes.
You know what? I should have had like meme rep as one of these.
Yeah.
Like just which one's the best?
Let's see, out of the films we did, we have Willy Wonka, Shrek 2.
Did we do any really, like, meme bait movies? We really didn't. Like, we didn't touch the Spider-Man movies at all.
No, we didn't do Star Wars.
We didn't do any of Star Wars prequels. Well, we did Solo, but that doesn't really have much
like
of that in it.
It's not like the prequel
trilogy. No, not really.
No, we didn't really do a lot of meme movies.
No. Let's move on to our next segment. This one. This is a real Mike's Camera Action Award right here. Biggest Asshole. So we've got a favorite situation going on here where we've got 2 from the same film being
nominated.
The
elephant in Ace Ventura.
The elephant. The triceratops in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So we've got Fermin from Roma, the piece of shit who walked out on a pregnant maid.
Trying to beat her.
Yeah. And then proceeded to point a gun at her later on. Beckett, aka Woody Harrelson's character from Solo, a Star Wars story, who tried to shoot first in against our hero. Oscar from Shark Tale, because he is a lying piece of shit. And finally, we've got Veruca Salt and Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka.
Grandpa Joe.
Yeah?
Yeah, Fermin or Grandpa Joe.
Fermin or Grandpa Joe, holy shit. Okay. Yeah.
Grandpa Joe's an asshole.
As we've agreed, yeah, we agreed on this. Grandpa Joe's a piece of shit. He's waiting in bed, claiming credit, leading Charlie down the side of darkness because he's a filthy adult.
Exactly.
I want to give it to Grandpa Joe, but at the same time, fuck Veruca Salt, shittiest child.
Yeah, but wait.
I was actually really torn as to which shitty child to put on this list.
Oh, because they're all awful.
Because they're
the
all
point.
Shitty, but I feel like Veruca's the most annoying.
I feel like I'd give all the kids an honorary award for being awful children.
They, yeah, I was actually considering having like an awful children award, but then when I was going through all our movies, I was like, there's only Willy Wonka. Like, it's Willy Wonka, or like, just give it to, like, just throw in petty nominations to like the Danny from Transformers or something. Like, that was all I had. Yeah, I couldn't give it to Kevin.
Which one's Kevin?
Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't give it to him. I could give it to, like, his siblings.
Yeah, no, the Willy Wonka children get their own honorary award.
I forgot to put on this list, but the uncle from Home Alone, who's stealing all the champagne flutes from the plane as a massive cheapskate.
Yeah.
He's got to be on this list, too.
I'm going to go with Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa Joe? My vote's going to be on Furman for this one. I feel like that's very fitting.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, he's an actual piece of shit.
Yeah. Grandpa Joe's just an asshole. Yeah. Fair enough. So this one's good. This one's a good one. However, it's a sweep. Best chainsaw. So we've got the massive chainsaw that one of the villains from Mandy uses, like the two-hand chainsaw that's basically the length of two chainsaws in the chainsaw fight.
I thought that
fight.
Was the one that what's his name uses? Nicolas Cage.
No, he has just a regular chainsaw.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah. The guy's fighting has one that's as big as Cage.
Yeah.
Then you've got the baby chainsaw from Sharknado 4. It's like that tiny little plastic chainsaw that kid used to cut open a whale. The laser chainsaw from Sharknado 4. So this is the Kylo Ren, like, cross saber chainsaw thing. And then we have the holy chainsaw from
The one given to Finn by Fabio.
Yeah, by the Pope.
Who's played by Fabio.
Who's played by Fabio, yeah. What do you think should be winning this one? It's a sweep from Sharknado for sure, but which Sharknado chainsaw? Because only one can be best.
That's the laser chainsaw.
The which one?
The laser one.
The laser chainsaw?
Yeah.
Okay. You're thinking the Kylo Ren, like, cross-save chainsaw? Yeah?
It's a laser chainsaw.
It's pretty fucking dope. I'll give you that. I was almost shooting towards the holy chainsaw from Sharknado 5.
Yeah, but it's not a laser, Carl.
But yeah, you've swayed me. You're right. It is a laser chainsaw.
It's a lightsaber and a chainsaw. What's not to love?
The chainsword. All right, let's go with that one. We have the next segment. Best action hero one-liner. What best ones I could pick out from our list were Iced That Guy from Last Action Hero, Yippee-ki-yay Motherfucker from Die Hard, Come On You Apes, You Wanna Live Forever from Starship Troopers, Just Tell Me You Love Me, Pussy from Stealth, and Chew On This, You Ugly Bastard from The Meg.
I'm going to go with You'll Be What from Last Action Hero.
The which one?
The fact that they kept trying to get Arnie to say, I'll be back.
Oh, yeah. You're right. But that's more of a gag instead of a one-liner.
Yeah, but that's the point. Half his one-liners were just those gags.
Yeah, I know.
Otherwise, it's going to be Yippee-ki-yay, Motherfucker.
Yippee-ki-yay, Motherfucker? I really like the one from Last Action Hero. That one gets my vote, personally, because that one's just so corny and out of the blue, but I love it. It's got it's got enough of a joke in there where he just kills a man with an ice cream.
But to be fair, Last Action Hero is designed to be full of those corny one-liners and all that. So.
Yeah, it does it well. I had to give one to Stealth here because otherwise, what would I be doing with Stealth in this award show?
Just forgetting it ever existed.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, man, you gotta give credit where credit's due. It's got a really terrible ending line that I had to get squeezed into this somehow. One of my favorites is up next.
Oh, what is it?
Biggest fucking freak. So this is the award for the biggest fucking freak, like, just sitting there like, who's a freak in these movies?
Oh, the one that was snorting coke and jerking off in Mandy?
Oh, dude, you know what? Put him on there as well. Because I had Jeremiah Sand on here.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, like, the villain who's like, I'll suck your fucking dick, man, at the end.
Yeah.
Who also is sitting there, like, on an LSD tripping out, switching faces with Mandy, like, just naked in half of that movie. Yeah. I feel like he belongs on this list for sure.
You forgot about the guy that was jerking off. And
I did actually forget about the guy who was just jerking off with a spike penis. And
yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. He's going on this list as well. Double nomination for those two. You've got Joseph from Creep, a.k.a. Mr. Peach Fuzz.
Yeah, that dude was a weirdo.
Yeah, what a fucking freak. Yeah. Exactly. Quint from Jaws, who I feel like is kind of a throwaway on this one, just because he's the black like a doll's eyes from Jaws. Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street, who's just all
bleh.
And then Cobb from Tales from Earthsea. This is Willem Dafoe's character.
Oh my God.
Who was a fucking freak that this award is named after. He gets my nomination for sure.
Not Spike Penis?
Nah, man. I'll give him the nomination, but he can't take the win from me.
Yeah, Cobb was very weird.
Cobb is the reason why this award exists, because you know, David and I were just calling him a fucking freak the entire way through.
You know what? I'll actually give it to Cobb, because out of, like, Mandy, like, those two sort of fit in. Like, the whole thing is surreal and that bizarre nature.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger, horror film villain, of course.
Yeah. Joseph.
Joseph, yeah. Horror film villain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
kinda.
But...
yeah.
Found footage, like, he's the antagonist of the film.
Yeah.
Whereas Cobb is, while also being the antagonist, he's, like, so bizarre and out there.
Yeah, he just suddenly, like, one, he's weird in his regular form, and then he becomes this weird bloated fucking monster freak dude with, like, square... Yeah, he cleans up on this one. This is a dead sweep.
Yeah, so out of, like, sheer just, like, not fitting in, it's Cobb.
Yep, done. Our next one is Most Heroic Character. So for this one, I've got T'Challa from Black Panther, Slade from Last Action Hero, Kick-Ass from Kick-Ass, Marty from Cabin in the Woods, that's our stoner, John McClane from Die Hard with a Vengeance. I also think maybe we should put Finn on here from Sharknado, but I don't know which one specifically I'd put him in for. Just, well, you know, just give him the whole thing. Why not?
If we did Sharknado over an episode.
Yeah.
So, Marty, I wouldn't call him a hero.
Not really, no.
Slade, yeah...
he's the last action hero.
Yeah, but still, yeah.
T'Challa?
T'Challa, yeah, he's a Marvel superhero, but...
that's true, yeah. He's the only, like, actual superhero movie we covered was Black Panther. Kick-Ass is the closest. Black Panther is the only actual superhero movie we did in 34 episodes.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Huh.
We only did two superhero movies, and one of them was a fake superhero.
Oh, yeah, Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Unless you want to count, like, giant robots as superheroes, or John McClane as a superhero... or Finn in Sharknado as a
superhero.
What
did we have with giant robots?
Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about those. Not a memorable movie.
How dare you?
I'll keep saying this until I die.
How dare you?
Until I forget about it.
Until I forget 10 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So we'll mark off Marty.
Yeah, mark off Marty. Definitely not Nicolas Cage's character from Mandy.
Oh, hell. There is a reason why I didn't even give him the nomination, because he's just on a vengeance quest.
I get the whole thing about The Last Action Hero, but part of me also... I don't want to give it to The Last Action Hero, because he is based off characters like John McClane.
Yeah,
like,
fair enough.
His basis is John McClane. If you're going to give it to him, you might as well just give it to John McClane.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe... but, like, John McClane's whole thing is just, like, there in the wrong place.
Yeah, he's wrong place at the wrong time. But he still does, like, some very heroic shit and, like, is willing to put an ordinary mortal human being, his own body on the line for it.
Yeah, you know what? You convinced me. I reckon John McClane.
John McClane?
Yeah.
I think we can give it to John McClane. Best shark. This is a good one because we've covered a lot of shark movies. So what I've put in here is Lenny from Shark Tale. So Jack Black's character, who's just a cool bang-up dude. Jaws from Jaws. Way bigger Jaws from The Meg. And I was going through our Sharknado special and thinking, what's an actual distinctive shark? And the only one I could come up with was the shark that bites off April's hand, then comes back later to finish the job in Sharknado 2. I was like, what's an actual shark that does anything in this series? And that was the only one I could come up with, is because it was a recurring shark.
Let's see. See, the issue is that with The Meg, you run into the same issue that I was having with Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
And the last most hero character is the Meg shark is just based off the jaw shark, basically.
Yeah, you think so? Except it's way fucking bigger. But,
yeah, it's just...
But also that character's a comedic fucking spoof, because it bites down on a Zorb.
Yeah.
It's like a weird fucking dumb shark.
Yeah. I feel like the shark in Jaws is just so much more iconic.
It's a very distinctive shark.
Yeah, it's very much more distinctive. Lenny is the nicest shark, but Jaws shark is the best shark.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I can give it. Lenny is like a shark you'd want to be friends with.
Yeah.
But he's not the best shark.
No, the best shark is definitely Bruce. That's what they call
our friends, not food.
No, that's what they call the animatronic shark.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's part of the joke in Finding Nemo, is that the Bruce is named after Bruce, the animatronic shark from Jaws.
Fair. I can give it to Bruce on this one, to Jaws.
Yeah, yeah, give it to Jaws Bruce, not Finding Nemo Juice Bruce.
the iconic shark. Now, for this one, I only had one nominee written down, for sure. And I want to know if you've got anything else to add to it. I was thinking best montage, And the only one that I could... I know there's been a few, but I couldn't remember them. I know there's, like, maybe from Home Alone setting up the house, but the one that stood out in my mind was in Mandy, about the halfway point when he builds the Celtic Frost axe. Because that's fucking sick.
Yeah, it was sick. That axe is sick.
So I was wondering if you had anything else to add to this one, if you knew about any other montages in the past 34 episodes, because I couldn't come up with any, and I know they're out there.
I get the feeling that I think Kick-Ass might have had one.
Yeah, I was thinking Kick-Ass, but I couldn't remember what would be one. I mean, one of the fight scenes is basically a montage, if I remember properly, like the warehouse with Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Because it just cuts so much in like a single take, it's weird.
I like the bit where they use the microwave and they're like, I can't hear and his head just blows up. But that's not a montage.
No, it's not. Oh, we should have a Goriest Death Award on this one.
Oh,
that'd be great. Fuck it, why not? We're the Mike's Camera Awards. We'll do that next.
Yeah.
What a professional awards show, ladies and gentlemen, where we add awards midway through the show as we come up with them.
Yeah, let's see. I can't think of any. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to give it to the Celtic Frost Axe.
Yeah, the Celtic.
That was cool.
I think the Celtic Frost Axe worked the best because the music in Mandy was just insanely good.
Yeah, and also adds a great, like, it's right at that midpoint when the movie flips from being like this, oh, it's about this, like, exploring these characters and showing you around the place. And then it just goes, all right, we're on a fucking quest to kill a motherfucker. Let's go! Like, that's the turning point. Like, he's just picked up the crossbow. Now he's got a giant piece of metal, and we're going to fucking kill and murder in quest. So I'll give it to that. Let's do it. All right, goriest motherfucking death. Let's do this. What was the best death?
The one when Nicolas Cage just jams his fans into the guy's eyeballs until he dies.
Oh, just
crushes his skull.
Crushes Jeremiah Sands' brains in with his hands. Yeah. That was pretty freaking dope. But at the same time, Johnny Depp dying in Nightmare on Elm Street when he's just blended into a human soup.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I gotta give credit to that.
Don't forget the one where the dude's head just exploded in Kick-Ass.
Oh my, yeah, exactly. The microwave we were just talking about. That one's great. What else had a really fucking good death? What else was in there? There's the kid in Jaws who just gets blended by the shark.
Yeah. There's, what's his name, the guy that's never, I don't think, actually ever given a name, but he just gets the bite taken out of him by the bigger Meg.
Oh, which one?
The Wall, or whatever it's called. He's just in the water.
Oh, and then, like, the shark just eats him in the process of taking a bite of the other shark.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that one as well. That one was pretty fucking dumb. His name was The Wall, that's it.
Yeah.
I want to give my vote to Johnny Depp being blended in Nightmare on Elm Street. That one's great.
Like, Mandy has probably more gory deaths that I'm just not remembering.
Well, Mandy has some of the coolest fucking deaths in that one.
Yeah.
Like Nicolas Cage box cutting Spike penis.
Yeah.
Like, true. And just being, like, that 6 second shot of just him being showered in blood.
Yeah.
That's a great death.
And then,
I love
later
that
on, you've got like him and his smiling, bloodied face.
Oh, I love that ending shot I've got saved on my phone. Is just like Nicolas Cage covered in blood, just smiling like a lunatic in the car. I love that shot.
That was a good ending.
But so I'll give my vote to Johnny Depp being shredded. What about you?
Yeah, I got to give it to Johnny Depp then.
Johnny Depp being blended into a human smoothie.
Yeah, like Mandy has so many that it doesn't really stand out.
Yeah.
The only thing that really stands out about the whole Sanders thing is just the, oh, suck your dick, man.
Oh, fucking suck your dick, man.
Yeah.
I'm swimming. So with best death out of the way, this one's an interesting one. The Can't Hold Their Liquor, a.k.a. the Bad Trip Award. So this one's for, like person off their rocker. Like, who's tripping the hardest right now?
Nicolas Cage's character from Mandy.
Oh, first one up there is Nicolas Cage's face melting off from taking some bad LSD in Mandy.
Yeah, that was such an acid trip to watch.
Yeah. Like, that from that moment on, like, when he dips his finger in the LSD, like, in the super biker LSD, I wasn't sure if anything else in the movie was actually happening.
Yeah, no, there was no way to tell.
Yeah, because it was weird up to that point, but then after that, it just started getting weirder. Where then you've got, like, the cook, the tiger, just the entire ending sequence, the chainsaw fight, it just kept going weirder and weirder after the bikers. But I'll also give us some other nominations while I'm here. We've got, you didn't see Grabbers, but Lisa Nolan being the designated drinker in Grabbers. So you know about the concept of Grabbers.
The plot behind Grabbers.
So the point was they're the designated drinker in the pub. Where they just where to test if like alcohol like made them ignore you. They forced the female character Lisa Nolan to just drink and drink and drink and drink and drink until she was way over the legal limit to the point where she was on the verge of dying.
Oh, Jesus.
Just to see if it was possible. So she spent the rest of the movie just wasted. We've also got Taki waking up in Mitsuha's body and fondling her slash himself for the billionth time, just unconsciously. And then we've got Frodo pursued by the Nazgul from Lord of the Rings.
What?
So in that, in the animated Lord of the Rings movie, you know when they get to, like, the, whatchamacallit, the, what's the name of the elven city again?
Rivendell.
Rivendell, yeah. When they, when they're just outside of there and they're, and Frodo's being pursued through the field by the Nazgul, you know that scene?
Yeah.
It's the one with the water. For some reason, in the animated movie, it just becomes this weird, trippy-out experience where everyone else disappears and it's just Frodo and all the colors shift and nothing makes sense and I can't... It's more of an acid trip for the viewer because I had no idea what was going on in that scene. It was a blur of colors, a swirl of voices. Frodo was, like, tripping balls. You could see it on his face. He has no idea what's going on. Everything's super slow-mo. I didn't get it at all. So I feel like I had to put that in there because I didn't understand what was happening.
So you were on the trip.
Yeah, it felt like I was the one tripping out.
Yeah, no, I'd probably go with the super biker LSD.
I gotta give it to the biker LSD too. Just the moment Nicolas Cage, like, it was such a shocking moment where he just dips his pinky into the LSD, touches it to his tongue, and then his face melts.
Yeah, it's like, man, you know what this stuff did to you.
Yeah, it's like, you've seen the effects of this shit. Why not? So let's give it to them. This one's a bit sweeter than tripping balls on face-melting LSD. Best couple. So we've got Taki and Mitsuha from Your Name.
Yeah.
Lars and Bianca from Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
Tristan and Yvain from Stardust. And then Aaron and Joseph from Creep.
Oh, that was not a good couple.
There's got to be nominees.
No. They did not need to be nominated for this.
Hey, man, it was so creepily sweet. They found that heart-shaped pool or whatever.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Figured I'd give it to them. Why not?
No.
Oh, heck, Joseph and Mr. Peach Fuzz. They got a relationship going on.
I don't remember. Which one's Mr. Peach Fuzz?
Mr. Peach Fuzz is just the wolf mask.
Oh,
but there's
Christ.
That moment when he's asleep, when he starts fondling himself, saying, Mr. Peach Fuzz.
I'd forgotten that.
Yep. And I'm bringing it right back.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten who Mr. Peach Fuzz was. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I like Tristan and Yvain. Mostly, yeah. Because I like Stardust. Mm-hmm. What were the other choices?
Lars and Bianca Lars and the Real Girl. So Bianca being, of course, the sex doll.
Yeah.
Then we've got Taki and Mitsuha from Your Name. So the body switching, time traveling duo.
Taki and Mitsuha was good too.
Yeah.
Like, Lars and Bianca was
such a sweet relationship.
He was using it as a coping mechanism more than anything else.
Fair.
And I think it showed.
Yep.
So it lost kind of its sweetness.
Okay.
What else was there? There was, Taki and Mitsuha, I really enjoyed, though.
Yeah.
So I might have to give it to them.
Okay, because I would have given it to Tristan and Yvain from Stardust.
Yeah. I mean, they're both good couples.
Yeah.
They're both willing to do a lot for each other that we saw in the film.
Yeah. I was giving it to Tristan and Yvain because they become stars at the end, and
true.
Just so sweet.
They do.
They get married. They change. You know, they change the course of the kingdom forever, that kind of stuff. They've got a great wedding.
Oh, yeah, completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I think that's just a really beautiful ending. So I'll give my pitch to them, and if you still...
I'll take Tristan and Yvain.
Oh, Tristan and Yvain?
Yeah.
Sweet. Now, this one is a cleanup. It's called the Christian Bale Award. You've seen Christian Bale and other actors do it. Like, I've seen Gary Oldman go through this before to become... Winston Churchill?
Yeah, that was actually partially a fat suit.
Yeah. But still, I gotta give it to, like... But this one, I feel like, is more deserving to Christian Bale. So I call it the Christian Bale Award because it's about, like, which actor in the movies we've seen made the biggest physical transformation for the role. And there was no contest on this one. It's Christian Bale as Dick Cheney in Vice. Because holy shit, the man aged 40 years and gained 40 pounds in the course of the movie, like, in the movie. So I gotta give it to him. The man ate so many damn pies to become this.
Yeah, also, to be fair, it's the Christian Bale Award, and the only nominee is Christian Bale. We haven't done any other Christian Bale films.
That's true. If we did The Machinist, there'd be a little bit of contest. The next one, I want to hear your opinion on this, Alex. So this one's the Better Than I Expected Award. So this is for going into a movie and then coming out. Expectation versus results. So what do you think would have gotten your vote for this one? What was better than you would have thought?
Mandy.
Mandy?
Mandy was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah?
Like, I came in and I heard that it was like one of Nicolas Cage's best performances sort of thing, but nothing prepared me for what Mandy was.
Okay. Because I only had the one thing written down for this one. Like, I only had who I think, yes, this is my winner. And it was Mandy.
Yeah.
Because I went into that movie having no idea what to expect. I was like, all you told me was, it's this weird, trippy Nicolas Cage movie. That's it. Like, you didn't tell me, one of Nicolas Cage's best performances.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. I knew vaguely that it was, but I hadn't, went a whole heap of reviews out at the time. Like, later on, I've read that it's best performance, and I was like, all right, I'll go see this. It's a Nicolas Cage film.
Yeah.
Looks like a trip.
Yeah, you just told me like that, and then we saw the trailer, and I had no idea what anything.
Yeah, we saw the trailer, and we're like, what the fuck?
I was like, there's a chainsaw battle. Okay, yeah, let's see it. And then I came out going, holy fucking shit, that was amazing. Like, I loved the movie. I thought it was seriously some of the best acting I've seen in a while. Like, holy shit, Nicolas Cage did a great job in that. And it was fucking balls to the walls. I loved it.
Yeah, it was nothing but balls to the wall.
Yeah, I came out thinking like, holy shit, this movie was awesome.
Yeah, like it had that right. And even when it started, I was like, what's going on in this film?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Even like the start of the movie was a bit baiting. I was like, this is a long start and I have no idea what I'm getting into. And then the second half of the movie immediately made everything worth it.
Where it's like, what? It's like, hey, you remember the trailer? This is where it takes place.
This is where the trailer is. It's all at the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Brilliant. Yeah, fair.
Like, you get the few bits of Nicolas Cage's character and Mandy together, and then it's just balls to the walls.
Yeah, then after that, it's like, all right, acid trip, fucking murdering, let's go. This is a high-paced intensity, like, fucking extravaganza. I loved it.
Exactly, and it was bizarrely brilliant.
That's actually a really good way to put it, bizarrely brilliant.
Yeah.
Our next one is Great Concept, Less So Execution Award. So who do you think this one should go to? Because I have my answer of who I'm giving it to personally.
I don't have anyone for it. No.
Because I think there's one true winner for this, which is Grabbers. You gave me the DVD of this so we could do an episode on it. And I was so excited.
Hey, look, man, I've seen like a bit of Grabbers and it looked decent enough.
But the idea behind it, where like the pitch behind it was seemed so funny and gave me so much expectation of this could be amazing.
Yeah.
And it turned out really not great. Lizzie and I, just the entire episode, were like, yeah, it has a cool idea and I wish they did it better because I wanted to see that. Like, solution to the apocalypse, get drunk. Oh, what I would give to see that done properly.
Yeah.
And what I got was Grabbers.
Yeah.
Which was a shame.
It looked good.
It did.
Transformers could have been done better.
Really? You think?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just...
The Transformers movie?
Yeah.
How so?
The plot was just... I like the idea of a Transformers movie. I don't think the execution was that great.
Ouch. But even then, the Transformers, the movie, the one we've seen for the show... Yeah. That was a movie, it was a movie that basically came out midway through the TV series.
Yeah.
So it's literally like a series of episodes put into the movie length, except the movie had like a higher budget.
Did you have any other nominations besides Grabbers?
That was pretty much the one that I was set on. Like I came up with that award thinking, okay, it's got to go to Grabbers.
Tales from Mercy, I think, as well.
Tales from Mercy I was kind of thinking about.
Yeah, good idea, but execution was bizarre.
But I don't even know if Tales from Mercy was really right for it. I feel like Tales from Mercy was more just set me up in the beginning to expect more than I got.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if the concept was really like that brilliant that it failed to deliver on it. I just think it baited me in with like cool imagery and then gave me nothing on that imagery.
Yeah.
What was shown at the beginning with like deserts full of ships and a crumbling city, there was not like all that really evocative imagery then didn't pick up anything. It didn't give me any plot to do with those. Like, the ships never came back up. What was the point of them, you know?
Yeah, true. I really don't have a film for this category because I haven't seen Grabbers.
Yeah, so that's the one I'll put out there.
What about the Lord of the Rings film? Is that just a great idea, bad execution?
I mean, I don't even know if the idea was that great or whatever.
What, a Lord of the Rings movie isn't that great? I think Peter Jackson would have some words to talk to you about.
I mean...
Him and his Oscars.
Yeah, the idea of a Lord of... It's, the problem is it's not an original script is the problem. Like, it's already a book that we know exists, so of course it's going... Like, if the book is great, then of course it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But that one was just poor execution of an animated movie, really. Like, it just didn't belong. It was a weird movie. Let's just leave it with that much. Our next one is another one that I've already picked my personal winner for, which was, aw, they thought they were going to get a sequel award.
Is this Tales from Earthsea?
No, this one I gave to Stealth.
Yeah, they did think they were going to get a sequel, but they did not.
They cut to Eddie at the cockpit of Eddie in North Korea, like, oh, he's still on. And then this movie flopped hard. It made half of its budget back total. It did poorly. So,
what other films have we done that have flopped?
I don't know about
Sharknado got all its sequels.
Yeah, Sharknado made a lot of money. That was the thing. It was on a shoestring budget and made so fucking much because of the meme bait of it. Which I'm actually shocked it made more than like two movies. I'm shocked they got past the trilogy, if I'm honest.
Yeah, look, so am I.
Yeah. But don't worry, we're going to talk more about Sharknado in a second, our next award.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I got nothing.
Fair enough. Honestly, Stealth is pretty much the one.
I can think of like other movies, but yeah, definitely not.
Not ones we've covered.
Not ones we've covered.
The Made Us Cry Commendation. So this one's no real winner.
We're not going to talk about Sharknado? Are we talking about Sharknado for this one? Or?
No. That's next.
Okay.
The Made Us Cry Commendation is just... Which movies made you feel real emotion in your cold, dead heart?
Your name.
Your name, yep, your name is on there. I would have said Optimus Prime dying if I was four. that made a young child cry back when he could feel emotion, but now I'm too dead inside. And they've also got Cleo's dead baby in Roma.
Oh, that was so sad.
That was crushing. Like, the two moments that have gotten me, I had to go through all our episodes and think, okay, which ones have done it? Those are the two that got me this year.
The bit where Bianca dies and Lars and the Real Girl.
I didn't quite cry, but that did make me feel sad.
It made me feel sad, but I didn't cry.
That you're right. That one actually did get... It got some emotion out of me. That's enough.
Yeah, it's like... Because, like, you feel glad. Like, Bianca's death is one of those ones where you feel glad because it means that Lars is moving on.
Yeah.
But, like... Bianca became a pillar of the community.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, this established character that you started to kind of give a shit about had just been diagnosed with death.
Yeah, it's like diagnosed with death is probably the perfect way to do it. He's just like, yeah, she's dead now.
She's dying. Oh, she's dead. This is good, guys. It means he's getting over it. And meanwhile, Lars is sitting there going, oh, fuck. Oh, no.
What have I done?
How do I get myself out of this hole? I've fallen in love with a sex doll and everyone knows.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah, pretty much.
Our final award that I've got here is Strange Ending But Okay Award. So for this one, I've got The Favourite. And so Emma Stone flicked the royal bean in the company of rabbits for the rest of their days. Kick-Ass, suddenly jetpack minigun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, Kick-Ass solves his problem by shooting the shit out of an office block with a minigun jetpack. Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf throws up his sword and all evil was defeated. Just evil quit. Evil gave up and stopped trying.
I really have to watch this film.
You really should. Transformers, where Rodimus Prime gets the thing and they win Cybertron. Just the act of him acquiring the Matrix from Megatron means that Unicron dies and the Decepticons give up.
Yeah, it's
he does nothing with it. And then finally, we have Sharknado 6. I think I was on an acid trip for the past half hour, but they suddenly just undid all of the movies.
Yeah, they did.
The ending of Sharknado 6 was they go back to the first one, and then there's no first one. They literally go back to the scene where you meet the main character, except everything's happy, and his family loves him, and his friends are all alive.
Yeah, and then there's...
I hate nothing more than this.
And then there's even, like, the body double of the old guy who has the guy.
Yeah, had to cover for it one way or another.
Yeah, and, like, I think he appears in one of the scenes. Like, he just... Like, in one of the shots, he's just sitting at the bar. And then later
on... He's got his favourite bar stool.
Yeah, and then later on he walks out and he's still holding the bar stool. They use that shot of all things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a bizarre thing.
So what do you think... Also, should we throw Mandy this one as well, just for the riding off into the sunset, except it's two suns and it's an alien hellscape?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't have it written down, but I think we should throw that in there too.
I forgot that. I remember, like, the Nicolas Cage smiling, I forgot about the alien landscape and the sun.
Yeah, the fact is he's driving off and it's like, oh, right, we're in hell. Okay, sure.
Oh, God.
I feel like we've given Mandy a lot of awards, but fuck it. It wasn't at the Oscars. It couldn't be. So we're giving it the treatment.
Yeah.
Here's one last one for Johan Johansson.
I think the Sharknado 6 one was, what the hell was that ending the most?
Yeah.
Like, just because it did nothing.
And especially because it was like, Sharknado 6 started to get really weird where they just started going further and further into the future and nothing made sense.
And then further back in time and then...
Yeah, then they jumped back to the events of the first one. They redid the first movie's opening with, like, the dude on the boat. Encountering the sharks.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, except suddenly it became an acid trip where you've got, like, his cyborg wife's head floating around in a shark, and there's laser beams, and I can't remember exactly what's going on in that movie, but they open up a time vortex, and Hitler's there, and nothing makes sense, and then the movie just kind of closes, and everything's okay.
Yeah, I forgot.
And I don't even think at that point anyone remembered any of the events of the movies. Like, even Finn was just like, oh man, I sure do love my family!
Yeah, it was a bad ending.
It was terrible. That's the worst kind of ending you can give, where nothing from the previous movie, where nothing of the previous events mattered. Especially,
we sat through 9 hours to get there.
Yeah, we sat through all 6 Sharknado movies in one sitting.
Yeah.
For it to end like that.
Yeah, that was very annoying.
That was the worst part.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Sharknado 6 deserves our award.
Yeah.
that's my pitch. Strange ending, but sure.
Yeah. No, strange ending, but ugh.
Yeah, disgusts me.
Whereas Mandy was like, strange ending, but fits in.
Yeah.
He's on sure. He's on the weird biker acid, man.
This isn't the weirdest thing that's happened in this movie.
No.
Just 2 minutes ago, he crushed a man's brain.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I'll take it.
The bit where he's on, it's like the musical sequence when he takes the acid, and you're like, all right.
Some weird animated sequences pass twice in this movie. Sure, this fits.
Yeah, it's like, wait, this is halfway through the film and I'm only seeing the title card now?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, we're getting into the movie now.
Yeah, what was the other bit? Was this Mandy? Was it like Andy or?
This is the prequel series.
Yeah, it's Andy. It gets before it gets its M rating. So it's Mandy.
Thanks for helping me out with the Mike's Camera Awards.
Yeah.
We had to get through that slog and see, like, what's deserving of our nominations.
Yeah, not much.
How dare you? This is the most prestigious award show.
There's a lot of stuff deserving of our nominations, but it's all pretty garbage.
Welcome to the trash.
Trash!
So next week, I wanted to do something really good, like a movie I love and wanted to introduce to some people. So I wanted to talk about Arrival, because I figure, you know, Mandy won so many of our awards, or at least was nominated for so many of the Mike's Camera Awards. Johan Johansson did the soundtrack of it, and I thought, you know what? What else has he done?
I think I have the book of Arrival.
Yeah?
I think it's a short story that I have. Or
it is based on a short story.
Yeah, I think I have the book that it's in. And I'll see if I can dig it out.
And also at the same time, the director of Arrival is also doing Dune. And there's a whole bunch of news coming out for Dune lately. Like, people have been cast.
I can't wait to see Dune. I love that novel.
Yep. So I want to do some of his previous work and get into it before we start seeing stuff.
Man, I love that novel. Don't get me started on Dune.
Dude, I actually really want to see Dune when it comes out. Like, yeah. I want to know what this is going to be like. But anyway, so Arrival's next week. Join us then.